Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, this evening with me. Look at a few scriptures before I share with you where we're going. Ephesians chapter 2, and in the 10th verse, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, I love how the Amplified kind of amplifies it. "For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time." There are paths we're supposed to be on that God has set up for us. "Living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live." God is interested in us living the good life. Turn over to the Gospel of John with me. John chapter 10. And in verse 10, we find Jesus speaking here. He says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." But that's not where the verse ends, is it? He says, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." More abundantly. God is interested in us having abundant life. Amplified says that they may have an enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now, this is Wednesday night. Take a big breath. Inhale and exhale and just relax, because God's on your side and He wants you to have a good life. And He's already done the hard part. In Psalm 31, the 31st Psalm in verse 19, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you." And that word fear doesn't mean afraid in a fearful way. It means respect or reverence, or those who worship you, those who reverence you and respect you, "which you have prepared for those who trust in you." Let's read it again. "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who respect you, and which you have prepared for those who trust you." God's laid it up for us. He's prepared goodness for us. And He wants us to find it and to walk in it. He wants us to have a good life. Jeremiah 29:11. Well, let's just turn there. We know that one. Most of us can quote it. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Amplified says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome or your final expectation. What are you expecting? About the end of every calendar year, I do a message about what are you expecting for next year? Are you expecting anything to change? Are you expecting anything better? If you expect the same old thing, you'll get the same old thing. You have to raise your expectations, raise them according to God's word, and as you see who you are in Christ, what belongs to you in Christ, you can raise the bar now and say, I can reach that because God's given me that. But we have to believe it in our hearts, and then we have to act on it. We have to act on it. The good life has been made available to us, but we have to activate it. It doesn't just automatically happen to everybody. It's available to everybody. It's available to everybody, even non-Christians. The good life is to get into God's kingdom and now find out how his kingdom operates. Everything God's done, he's done it for everybody. Jesus died for the worst of sinners. And all they've got to do is accept and receive that which was done for them. And then all that bad stuff is erased away. And now they've got new life. And they can get on this path of new life. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the abundant life, about the good life. We need to have something readily available to share with somebody that wants to know. Somebody I'm talking about that's not born again. We can't just say, well, I go to church or, you know. No, it's what has God done for you? What's his goodness done in your life? We need to meditate on these things. You know, I share with people, go back to the last victory you had and put that on repeat. Don't put on repeat the 6 o'clock news. They do that for you. And then it's on at 7 and then 9 and then 11 and then 7 in the morning. It's the same old thing again. I haven't watched the news in quite some time. There was a time, though, that years back that I watched the news quite a bit. And then I realized I'm watching too much. When I was very, 19, 20 years old, 21 years old, in my first marriage, we used to watch television every night. And then one day I realized, I added up the hours I was sitting in front of the TV. It was one day out of the week. That scared me, and I said, no more. No more. I'm going to pick one half-hour show, and that's it. And I began to read then. In school, I hated reading. Now I have a library full of books, and I have more at home. I found that reading good things, I don't just read junk. I read mostly books that have been written by born-again, spirit-filled men and women of God that have something God's put in them to say that I want to know. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to go through and if somebody has gotten a revelation of something, let's run with it, you know? Apply it to your life, and then let's keep going. We're ahead of those that have gone on to the Father in heaven now, you know, and we can build on those things. We don't have to reinvent those things. Let's just get them in our hearts and go forward. So turn with me to Psalm 40. I want you to see God's goodness. Paul, several times I can think of when he was talking to different ones, said, by way of a reminder to stir you up. And the reason he would say that is because when he was talking to Timothy, Timothy was a young pastor, and he probably had a lot of ridicule and a lot of opposition coming against him. And so Paul wanted to stir him up and get him strong. And so meditate on the good things God's been doing in your life. Meditate on the word. We have the word of God that will, if you're having a bad day, you can't open up the word for any length of time and not have it put those things out of your mind. It just washes, the washing of the word over our minds it will just remove all of the toxic, you know, you had a bad day at work or somebody said something. Oh, God forbid somebody says something bad to you, you know, and so many people are, they live off their emotions. And most people's emotions are a wreck. I mean, they're high here and having a great time. The next thing, it's crashes. And it's just like, if the stock market did what people's emotions did, nobody would invest in it because they'd say, there's no way we're going to trust that. So you can't trust your emotions. Our emotions are given to us. I don't know why I'm going this direction, but our emotions are given to us for a reason, but they're not to run our life. Our spirit man's supposed to call the shots. And so, where did I tell you to go? Psalm 40. Let's look right at verse 1 here. I waited patiently for the Lord. See, here's some good instruction here. You know, sometimes we're just in too much of a hurry that we run into our prayer closet and run back out because, well, I've got to do this, I got to do that, I got to mow the lawn, I got you know, we got a list of things to do. But here he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. Take a breath. I'm waiting patiently. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. We don't even give God a chance to hear us, but we're gone. We need to take time. I look, I'm preaching to me too. Because I can sit down and want to pray. And all of a sudden, what happens? Your mind is going a mile a minute. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got all this to fit in my day. Happens all the time. Those thoughts are coming to you all the time. You know, the enemy is vying for your attention, but so is a lot of other things. And so we have to discern what's important. What are the important things? Remember, hold your place there. I think it's Luke chapter 10. Some of you don't want me to turn here, but that's okay. Just don't say anything and nobody will know. It's about Mary and Martha. Well, I thought about, you know, the long list here. Now it happened, Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went in that Jesus entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, now, it's not enough she just gives him the information. She tells Jesus what to do about it. Tell her to help me. And Jesus said, Mary, help her. No, you know your Bibles. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, this is Wednesday night Bible study. We're having a Bible study. I'm the Word. Jesus is the Word. He's talking to her. The heaven Bible study. You, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And I'm sure one of them was about her sister. Not living up to her expectations. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. They're having Bible study, and it wasn't important about all the serving and all the preparation. Let's get this done. And you know, Jesus wasn't a slacker, was he? I believe he'd be right out there, you know, cutting up the hors d'oeuvres and stuff. And helping prepare after the Bible lesson. I bet he'd even help with the dishes. But when the word is being spoken, that's important time to listen. Take notes. Pay attention. Listen to it again. It's not going to be taken away from Mary. Mary recognized that Jesus was the Word and that she needed to hear what he had to say. Mary probably had a bunch of issues in her life too. We don't know. But the fact that she put an importance on, I've got to listen to what Jesus has got to say. She reverenced him and respected what he had to say. Now, you know Martha was busy about, and she could hear him, but she didn't respect or reverence the word that was coming forth. She audibly probably heard what he was saying, but she didn't silence herself, shut off the news in her head, and sit down to listen. She was doing all the things that have troubled her and everything, and she's probably figuring, well, I can listen too while I'm working. I'm just thinking, you know, Martha and Mary, they're just normal ladies. And ladies, don't you have housework to do? And don't you got to be preparing? We got a guest. But the point here that Jesus wanted to get across is when the word's going forth, you need to stop everything else. Take time to listen. So I'll say this now, having Jesus said that, in our daily life, our time in the word is important. That's how we're listening to him. Our time in prayer time is important. Don't put everything all else in the world first. And then at the end of the day, I've done that before. And at the end of the day, I'm just too tired now. I don't want to, you know, I'll open it and, you know, religiously look at it. But am I receiving? No, I'm not. I'm just too tired. It's just like, ugh, shut the light off and let's go to sleep. You know, I can't, you know, if I'm going to pray, you better be in the first two sentences of my prayer or you're not getting any faith released into what I'm saying because I'm just fading fast. Come on, you've been there too. That's not always a good time to pray is when you've, now I lay my head down to sleep. It's like, because as soon as you hear the word sleep, you say, oh, it sounds so good. And you just fade off. And then you wake up in the morning, it's like, you didn't pray for nothing, you know? Hopefully you got a good night's sleep. Usually it's those nights that I get woken up at 3 o'clock and the Lord wants to talk to me. No, he does, but not because of that. Anyway, Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. So he's capable of bringing you up out of that bad day you just had. And so don't keep replaying that bad day. Doesn't matter if your manager was all over your case that day. Don't keep replaying that. That's not going to help you. Don't look back. Paul says, I look forward. Look forward to the word of God. Get home and open the Bible before supper. You know, find some scriptures that'll help you to calm your mind, get that junk out of your mind. So he can bring you up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay of your day. Come on, we got to make this today real for us. Not this is just a nice psalm, oh, and it rhymes and it's cute. No, he brought me up. So see yourself being resurrected up out of that bad situation that you had. And it might be something that's, you know, it's coming against you and it's been coming against you. That's all right. God can bring you up out of that miry clay, out of that pit, out of the horrible pit. And what does he do? He sets your feet upon a rock. The rock of Jesus Christ, the word himself. And then he established my steps. You see, God will allow you to establish your own steps. But when he establishes them, they're in rock. Nobody's moving them. Verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth. Forget that bad day. You got a new song in your mouth. Go to bed, you know, with a new song. Come to the dinner table around with your family with a new song. Don't sit there and talk about the horrible things that happen in front of your children and even with your wife, you know. There's a time to communicate to your wife. But my goodness, too many people just have diarrhea of the mouth, yes, in front of their children. Their children don't need to hear all these things that are going on in their life. Their minds and their little spirits, they're not capable of processing a lot of the junk that gets spoken just because we're too quick to want to get it out of our mouth. Don't have gossip time around the table. That's fellowship time. You know, I was just reading, it was in Success Magazine. It wasn't the Bible. It wasn't Billy Graham's Evangelistic Association. But they said statistics, according to the world, is that out of 7 days a week, out of 21 meals, families are spending one meal together. One out of 20, 3 times 7 is 21, yeah. Yeah, they only come together one meal of the week to sit down together because everybody's going this way and that way and two jobs and not, the jobs are overlapping and mom works the day shift, dad's working the night shift, and it's just crazy. So God's going to be the one that puts a new song in your mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear. Again, not, I wish they hadn't translated that word, but you folks have been taught well enough, and you understand. Many will see it and will respect the Lord, will honor the Lord, will worship the Lord. And the next verse says, and will trust the Lord. You're not trusting somebody that you're afraid of, so that's obvious that that's not what that meaning is. Verse 4, blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust. Trust is in those two verses, right? Back to back. What does it say? Blessed is that man. That when you trust God, that you can't receive blessings from God if you don't trust God. You have to believe in your heart. You got to trust him. You'll be blessed. Putting time in the word is not wasted time. It's imperative time. And for the day we live in, we need to have more of the word in our life coming out of our mouth on a day-to-day basis, not just on Sunday or on Wednesday. It's got to be there at work. It's got to be there wherever you are. You've got to be ready in season and out of season. You've got to be ready to give an account. You've got to be ready to lay hands on somebody or speak or cast a demon out. You've got to be ready. And if you don't keep your mind renewed, what was that scripture? You know, you won't be able to speak the word. You won't remember the word. So getting the word in. Jesus himself said in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, not if you just show up on Sunday to hear the word, if you continue, then you're truly my disciples. Just people that occasionally go to church are not disciples. They can be Christians. They can be born again, they can be saved, and they're going to heaven, but they're not disciples. Big difference. Jesus said, go and make disciples in Matthew 28. Don't just try to get somebody born again and then leave them to not even understand what this new life is all about. And we should be demonstrating this new life, right? Not just having to talk about it or show a little track. We should be able to demonstrate it. Share testimony, share miracles that have happened in your life. I remember years ago, I used to get my haircut, I don't know, someplace up on the avenue, and then the lady left and went to Meredith, and she just did a good job, so I went up to Meredith, and then they closed down, and she started doing it out of her home, and so she let me know. She says, I'm letting my customers, it was in a commercial area, and she says, I'm letting the customers come to my home, and landlord's okay with it and everything. She set up a, you know, kind of a hair salon in her home. And it was interesting because it was at that time that I began to get hungry for God's word. And I began sharing with her. I had, you know, I'm there, she's cutting my hair, and I began to share with her miracles that I was just beginning to see God move in the miraculous. And so it would always lead her to ask questions. And I didn't personally pray with her and have her confess Jesus as Lord, but I sowed a lot of seed, you know, month after month after month in that situation. And so you have to look for opportunities. And, you know, I think Joan Hunter shared many times where, you know, she'd go get her nails done and she's like just taking a breather because she's on the road all the time. And my goodness, is a situation that needs the power of God. And so she would, you know, open her mouth and speak and just talk. And right there, God would do a miracle right there, getting her toenails done or whatever. But we've got to live that way. We've got to be ready for what's out there in the world. It's not just about here. Here's discipleship. Here's training for out there. And then every one of us has people that God's going to put into our life that we can reach, that I won't be able to reach some and you won't be able to reach, but where you go, you have a sphere of influence. I was reading this also. I don't know how accurate it is, but by estimation, it was probably Success Magazine. It's a good magazine, actually. There's a lot of biblical things that come out of that. John Maxwell is one of the editors of that, if any of you know John Maxwell. Bishop T.D. Jakes was just on the cover 2 issues ago. Joel Osteen's been on there, different ones. But anyway, I believe that there's some people in that organization that are Christians, what I'm saying. And then I forgot where I was going with that. Anyway, it'll come back to me. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Oh, I know what it was, sphere of influence. Somebody had done a survey, a study, it was like Harvard or somebody, and they estimated that every person, I think they said in America, in their lifetime, the average lifetime, and I don't know what that year was, they said will encounter an opportunity to have influence in 10,000 people's lives. Now, it might be influence in, are we going to a movie tonight or are we going to have pizza and, you know, go to the Weirs? I mean, that's influence if you have an opportunity with somebody else. So in our lifetime, 10,000 different people. I mean, look at all the different times people change jobs, people that move, sometimes people move lots of times, whole new neighborhoods, whole new businesses. I mean, that's what they came up with. That's 10,000 people is a lot of people for opportunities. I'm just saying, be aware of opportunities to share God's goodness because God, Jesus came that you might have and enjoy an abundant life. And he wants you to spread that abundant life to other people. We shouldn't look at living our life and then Christianity as separate things. And, okay, now I've got a witness this week. No, our lives should be a witness. Everywhere we go, we should always be ready. And I tell you, right here in Laconia, every time I'm walking on the streets in downtown, people are always looking down when they walk. It's like our people... I don't know if it's the sidewalks aren't that bad in Laconia. It can't be that they're just looking for potholes that they're going to not, you know, fall in. But people, I would say 90% of the people will be people looking down. It's like, why? What's because they probably don't have any good thing to, you know, they're meditating on the bad things that are going on in their life. I don't know. Maybe some of them are looking down and praying in the spirit, but I haven't really heard that. But anyway, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done. See, this could lead us right into finding out who we are in Christ and all those things that we have in Christ. Many are the works that you've already done. All of his promises are yes and amen. He's a good, good God. We sing about his goodness. We did tonight. And so we need to be believing for and expecting and activating his goodness in our life every day. We shouldn't be having bad days. When I wear that T-shirt, all my days are good, and I've got 2 of them. One of them says, no bad days, and another one, and is actually somebody made a company out of this thing. It's registered and everything. It's like, all my days are good or something. Because I thought, wow, that would be a good T-shirt company to make, and somebody already has done it. You know? And I bought one of them, and somebody else gave me the other one. But anyway, they found it down in Key West or something, down in the... They were in the Caribbean, hadn't seen it up here. It's because in New England, not everybody's saying, oh, my days are good. If you're living in the Caribbean, all your days are good, yes. You know, can't remember when it rained. The sun has just been so nice. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts toward us. Put your name in there. He's been thinking of you. You know, I think we ought to just talk to our Father. Not irreverently, but just talk to Him the way we talk. You don't have to, you know, sometimes prayer gets too religious. Prayer's just us opening our mouth and talking to Him, you know. He knows we speak English, and He knows we speak tongues. He gave them both to us. And so he understands English, even New England English. Probably gives him a chuckle or two, at least when he hears me. What you've done, the wonderful works which you've done, your thoughts toward us, cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's how much good stuff God has put forth towards us. I'm going to stop right there tonight. I just want to encourage you, look for the good. Expect the good. Expect the good to come out of you towards somebody else. We need to be looking to do good works to other people, to help other people. That's one way that we show who we are as children of God. We show His goodness. Because God's not down here walking physically the streets of Laconia. We are. We're His hands and feet. We're our mouthpiece, His mouthpiece. We're the ones. We're the salt and the light. He does it through us. So I just want to encourage you. When you're having, you know, don't participate in bad days, you know. You might get to work and somebody's coming at you. You know, as soon as you can get away from them, just start praying about it. Say, God, I'm just going to cast my care to you. I'm not even going to think about it. Do you think God can take care of it? Absolutely. Do you think we can? Well, of course we can. We'll make a mess of it, but we can still do something. And that's the problem, is we usually do. Well, I'll fix her. I'll fix him. And we'll do, yeah, see, God will allow us to do that, or He'll allow us to come into His presence and let Him do a miracle in this situation. I think we need to be expecting more miracles every single day. Why not? We're a miracle bunch of people. If this scripture is true, and it is, all things are possible to him who believes. We've got to be better believers and better receivers and better expectors. And we need to allow, you know, I pray quite often, Lord, minister to me and minister through me. Don't let it just stop at me. See, I'll blow up if I just study and can't get it out. But so will you. Your spirit man wants to, but your flesh is afraid, your flesh is tired, your flesh is, you know. The more you spend in here, you can put the flesh aside. That's the only reason why some people can do more than others. It's because the ones that aren't, they just, their flesh gets in the way. And it gets petted and it gets fearful and on and on and on. Anyway, why don't you stand with me? I'm glad I came. Be happy. Wasn't that a song somebody made? Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. See, that's right out of God's word. Don't worry, be happy. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, I thank you that as it goes into the good ground of the heart tonight, your word doesn't change. It's the same. It's the condition of the heart that we're looking at. And I pray that everybody here tonight and everybody listening to this message would have ears to hear. They would purpose to know and to understand what you're saying here, and that they can take your word, get it into the good ground of the heart, and watch it grow up and produce fruit, produce good works. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for coming.